Asbestos, the silent killer. Asbestos is a mineral that was once considered a great building material, as it was strong, affordable, flexible, and great for insulation. From the 1950s to 80s, Australia basically used asbestos to build every new house and building.
Asbestos cement roofing, which has made buildings safer and more durable. This material, available in many types and colors, is not only attractive, but fireproof too.
Until it was revealed that exposure to asbestos fibers can cause life-threatening illnesses, a shocking amount of people have had their health compromised by being exposed to this deadly dust. Inhaling asbestos can cause mesothelioma, a cancer of the lining around the lungs. According to the National Asbestos Awareness Organisation, each week 13 Australians die of asbestos-related diseases. It wasn't until 2003 that a complete ban of asbestos and its products became effective.
This bill is important. It's important to acknowledge how serious an issue asbestos is in this country.
Many Australians believe that asbestos is a thing of the past. Yet today, support services deal with thousands of incidents where workers report incorrect management and handling of the fibre. Many tradespeople are still at risk today, with the main problem being awareness and being able to identify it. I spoke with carpenter Andrew Ewing on his experience.
I first came across asbestos working as a second year carpentry apprentice. It was hard for me to deal with bringing up the idea of being uncomfortable with dealing with asbestos because I felt that I just needed to get on with my job and I didn't really feel that I had much of a choice. I think that there definitely needs to be more awareness in especially apprenticeship services about how to identify asbestos especially and how to feel comfortable with voicing your opinion about not wanting to disturb it at all.
Andrew does not stand alone. I sat down with electrician Cal Smart, who shared similar stories, including inadequate training, employers cutting corners, and the fear of voicing concerns to the boss to then just have them swept under the rug.
At the time, no, I hadn't had any specific training on working around asbestos. I had the general knowledge that it was dangerous when it became airborne, so I was not to move it or disturb it if it was found. For the next few days I was meant to be working alone. I mean, although he did warn me that there may be more asbestos on site, and he did give me a pair of gloves and a very basic mask, I was under the impression that he was aware of more that he was not revealing to me and that he was saving money by not being there with me. So I don't think he really took my health or safety into account at all. In the following days, I had a lot of hours alone to think about my plan of action and what had happened. But yeah, I became increasingly concerned about the amount of asbestos I'd encountered and how long I've actually been exposed to it and what I could do and if it would actually pose any like serious concerns to my health in the future.
Constant mind battle of knowing when the asbestos is serious enough to quit a job is a common theme from all the workers I spoke to. Yet ultimately, if national regulations and cautionary practices were being properly implemented, then this decision between putting their health at risk or keeping a job wouldn't even have to be on the cards.
I was adamant I was going to report him and I was going to quit the job. I took samples and photos and collected evidence and thought about it for a while. I didn't end up reporting him or quitting the job either.
I talked to Rod Smith from the Bernie Banton Foundation, a support service for victims of asbestos-related illness. The Bernie Banton Foundation creates awareness and educates on the dangers of asbestos.
It's a huge problem that will not go away in your lifetime. It will not go away in your grandchildren's lifetime.
In 2008, Rod's life changed forever when his life partner for over 23 years, Julie, was diagnosed with terminal asbestos cancer.
Most people don't know they've been exposed. That's number one. Number two, a lot of people don't bother if they have been exposed because the results of them being exposed may not happen for 50 years. So they only start thinking about it often in 50 years' time once they're diagnosed. Certainly, I think directors of companies and so forth get away scot-free with it. To my knowledge, in Australia, there's only been one person jailed over an asbestos issue, and that was only just recently, and that was a single individual. I think the fines are quite pathetic in what they do. The governments don't have the will, and they haven't got the will because, in general, the public don't want to know about it. It's costly in the workplace. It's costly for employers to do the right thing by their employees. And so if not forced to, we won't think about it. Look at the television home shows. They consistently do not highlight adequately at all the possible existence of asbestos in the homes. When you consider the age of the homes that they're renovating, it's not in their interest to actually highlight asbestos. Asbestos should be highlighted at the start of every show, during the show, at the end of every show, when they're working on buildings built before 1990. There's absolutely, it's a no-brainer. It's perceived to not be in their interest to actually highlight, well, hey, you could actually give yourself a death sentence by doing this renovation. Always remember the lady ringing me up. She watched the home show and got a sledgehammer out on the weekend and smashed up her hated ensuite because she hated the colours and the tiles and everything else, and dragged it all through the house and put it on the front yard so they could go in the skip bin or whatever. And a neighbour came up and said, "You do know that's asbestos." And she'd spent all weekend, thanks to a home show, and giving her the enthusiasm to do it, never gave a thought. That's the problem we have, though, is that people can't see it, they can't smell it. It doesn't look any different. There's no warning signs. It's not mandatory to actually have a house assessed. Every house should be assessed before it actually has any renovation done on it if it was built before 1990. It's too much opposition from the general public. How dare you say that we have to spend money to have our house assessed to help save our lives? There's not a national uniform regulation or enforcement body. If money is to be spent on the asbestos issue, it has to come out of something else. And people, if you give someone the option of spending money on something that they're going to get instant gratification from now, or they can see the results straight away now, invariably that's what they will do.
Rod Smith conveys that asbestos should not be viewed as a danger left in the past. It still infiltrates Australian society, haunting people 20 to 50 years after their first exposure. So sadly, we haven't even seen the beginning of the shocking effects that the fibre exposure is going to have on the Australian public.
Every government building, every corporate building, whatever, every school could have asbestos in it. Every single building you walk past, built before 1990, the vast majority of homes and properties, buildings in the North Shore, north of the Sydney Harbour, will have asbestos in them. You go out west, it's just horrendous.
This conveys the vitalness of our younger generation to have thorough asbestos work health and safety training, for national regulations to be more effectively enforced, for workers to know their rights when an employer asks them to deal with the fibre.
One young tradie thought he contaminated his family home and was going to shoot himself, literally.
The lack of awareness and outright denial of the risks involved with asbestos is alarming. If you feel concerned about exposure, don't hesitate to call the Banton Foundation Support Service on 1800 031 731.